or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. Have you been paying attention to the news? It's not funny, but I laugh because so many things happening simultaneously. We're going to talk about today communists, jihadists, and the media all against America. The communists, the jihadists, and the media all against America. Can you imagine that? It's the trilogy of those who want to undermine, tear down, and destroy our constitutional republic. I am so thankful, and we ought to be each and every day more and more thankful, to realize that God has placed Donald J. Trump in office at a time and place as we have today, that it might be the hope of the preservation of America for just a short time longer. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, the truth book. It is the truth book. It is very, very clear in the text in John 8:31-32. The Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that we have to stand on, depend on, and recognize that according to Psalms 117:2, the truth of the Lord endures forever. How long is forever? It is forever. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that we have that soft pillow to place our heads on of the evening, that God is in control, that God is sovereign, that God's not asleep, He's not dead, He's not on vacation, He's not winking at the problems in America. He's in control. And I have said for many, many, many years now that as we look at the Scripture and understand that from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, it is the progressive revelation of God to man. And as we see the Scripture and we look at it very carefully, we understand that God has pre-written the past, present, and the future. So all of these things that we see that's making headlines today, that's making chaos and confusion today, that's causing quandary and wonder in the hearts and the lives of so many today, doesn't take God by surprise. It doesn't take Him by surprise at all. But may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, the Scripture is very, very clear in the Scripture in 2 Timothy 3:1. It talks about Then know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for the time shall be when lovers of men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, thankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. That's where we are today. If you want to give a capitalization of where we are in our nation today, if you want to understand what is taking place, it is, God calls it perilous times. The word perilous means dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult. May I say to you, we're witnessing the crescendo of multitudes of events that should cause us to recognize that God is pointing out to us, they're in the last of the last days. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, as we remind you today that we are in those perilous times, and I'm using just as a title for the issue today, communist, jihadist, and the media all against America. The socialist Marxist media, ladies and gentlemen, is absolutely against America and wants to see it fall. But ladies and gentlemen, when we look at what is taking place, most people want to reject and refuse truth, not willing to adhere to and embrace truth. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it." And we see that to be factually true even today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns that the decline of America is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint said. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. And ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, if we do not have truth, if truth is gone, if truth is eviscerated, if truth is cast aside, our society is doomed for devastation and destruction. I'm looking at a headline that's kind of summarizing it. It says, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. This article reads in part, American institutions are suffering from a collapse of public support. Among the institutions worst affected are government, the media, and education. And further in the article, it says a significant number of our country's most serious problems have their roots in higher education, and there's no more serious problem than the notion fashionable in academia for decades now, and that is truth is relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception or cultural mores, or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer of yesteryear, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day. We need to love the truth, live it, tell it, learn it, defend it even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that'd make a vast difference if we could go back to those basics of learning the truth, learning it, loving it, living it, telling it, being willing to stand and defend it even to death. And may I just do a little footnote to that? It comes to mind each time I make that statement. Charlie Kirk did that very thing. He stood for truth and it cost him his life. What would it be like if all of America and even around the world, we would have those that would be willing to stand for the truth of the Word of God? Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, on the campus of Tools for Time is a 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just a few weeks ago, hear me, just a few weeks ago, American media, the socialist Marxist media, and the socialist communist Democratic Party were all screeching and screaming and waving flags and shouting against the Trump administration for the work he's been doing in the past year. You remember, they've been shouting and screaming. Let's just do a little brief recap, capsulization, not all, but a capsulization of what we've seen happening in America in the past 1 year that Donald J. Trump's been reelected as the 47th president. We've seen demonstrations in colleges and universities, streets blocked, or blockades of the entrances to the colleges and universities, with the jihadists waving the Palestinian so-called flag, demanding that, in fact, in some of their screaming and screeching, it is, "From the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free." That's a mantra saying, "Destroy Israel, destroy Israel, destroy Israel." Trump got in, and he did some cleaning of house in relationship to that, with shutting off some funds, and it's going to the federal funds to the universities and colleges, and it stopped a little bit of that. President Trump has been, my term, bombing the pot boats carrying marijuana and other high-powered drugs from Venezuela to America. I think it was something like 20 or 25 of those boats that were blown up in the water, and hundreds and hundreds of pounds of different illicit drugs floating in the water. And ladies and gentlemen, he's been setting the stage for weeks and weeks and weeks now for the removal of Maduro, the one that was the recent head of Venezuela. Maduro was the one that, keep in mind, President Trump has carried out what should have been done years ago. Autopen Sleepy Joe Biden had placed a $25 million bounty on the head of Maduro. Nothing was done to collect it. Nothing was done to bring him back to justice. He had been indicted years ago, I believe it was in 2020, by a federal grand jury in New York. He had been indicted. Nobody had ever tried to go out and pick him up, collect him up, bring him to justice, et cetera, et cetera. But President Trump made a decision to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, as we see the end result of it, now they're screaming and carrying on, saying that Trump is illegal. He's done something illegal. He doesn't have the power and authority to do that. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to understand, according to Article 2 of the Constitution, President Trump has the absolute authority to do what he has just done. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, we have a on our hands today a power struggle. It's not called that in the Democratic Party, the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party, but there's a power struggle. The mindset is we're going to prevent Trump from doing anything because we want to find excuses to somehow, some way, prevent the midterm elections to go about where the Republicans will gain any House seats, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I want your dialogue and discussion on, what is your position? How do you stand? Should President Trump, does he have the authority, number one, to go into Venezuela and pluck up Maduro, bring him back to America for justice? Is Maduro, is he a thug? Is he a racketeer? Is he responsible for the drugs coming out of Venezuela? Now, the second question that I'm throwing out for us, I'd love to hear your responses from it. What effect will this have on Russia and China that had become basic partners with Maduro in Venezuela? What will be the results of that? Ladies and gentlemen, the fact is that Maduro was basically a partner with China and Russia. Now that that's been shut off, the oil valve has been shut off. No more transportation of oil. How's that going to affect Iran? What will be the effect on Cuba? What are the results? What can we expect, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of this bold act carried out by President Donald J. Trump in plucking up Maduro, the head of Venezuela? The one that's the vice president of Venezuela, will she now automatically become president? Is it possible that that will take place? Well, maybe for a brief period of time, in my opinion. But will the one that is in hiding, if you please, out of America, that received the Nobel Peace Prize last year, will she come back into play? She was supposedly the one that was elected. Listen, here are a lot of things that I want to have input from you, our listeners, today. You recall when Maduro supposedly was elected by a landslide of some 91% of the people. You know, you realize they used the same voting machines, voting equipment that was used in America called Dominion voting equipment, and yet we were told that Dominion could not be hacked, that Dominion was actually accurate, and that Joe Biden was actually elected by 81 million votes in America in 2020. It's the same voting machines. So I just throw that out for your observation and thought and consideration as to what needs to be done. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. We're talking about two or three different things, but I believe they merge together. We're talking about the Maduro extradition coming out of Venezuela. It was taken by force, if you please. Surprise, if you please. By the way, a little footnote comes to my mind. If we have the capability of pinpointing, we, the federal government, and the apparatus that we have called the CIA and the FBI, if we have the capability of pinpointing where Maduro was and being able to go in and extract him from his nation, what do you think the Antichrist will have in his hands when the church is raptured out? The Antichrist can control every human being on the face of the globe. Because we are setting the stage through AI and other major advanced tracking equipment. The federal government and other governments can trace, track, and find every human being on the face of the globe at any time. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood, you're dead on point. And he was in his authority to do what he did. The Democrats are screaming bloody murder. And it's ridiculous. And like he told Iran, if they hear their citizens, because they are pissed off too. And he said, you hurt your citizens for the protest, because they're screaming blood and murder also about how they are being controlled. I forgot the young lady's name that didn't wear her, I forgot what they called her, the shawl on her head, and killed her? Mm-hmm. Hijab. Okay, thank you. Yeah, but yes, he's in his authority. And they don't want somebody that would put, put their boots on their heads and say, hey, you can't do this, you know.
One of the things, Kenneth, and you're exactly right, one of the equations that comes in, one of the picked parts that comes into the equation today is the response that we'll find from Iran. Now, listen very carefully, may our listeners understand. I've said for quite some time now, in fact, since Russia invaded Ukraine, started the Ukrainian war, that's been over 3 years. Three and a half years, I've said that we're witnessing and watching the stage being set, the pieces of the puzzle being put on the table, the chessmen being put on the table for the great war that is found in Ezekiel 38 and 39, where Russia leads five nations to come against the little nation of Israel. Those five nations, ladies and gentlemen, are being aligned today, where Russia is going to lead those that will be involved in that final battle. It is Syria and Turkey and Germany and Iran and China. Ladies and gentlemen, and Kenneth, I believe we're still witnessing the pieces of the puzzle being put in place of all of that part of the world that will come into play in the last of the last days after the rapture of the church in the final days in what I call the war with Russia or World War III. I believe we see that taking place. But going back to the point at hand, we're witnessing the chiding and the screaming and the hair pulling and the hair on fire of the Democrats saying that Trump is illegal, Trump should have gone to Congress. In fact, when they were in a press conference and asked the question, why didn't you go to Congress? And Trump said, because we didn't want to have a leak. In other words, we didn't want the enemies to know what we were doing, knowing that if it had been told to Congress, those in those committees, including the Democrats, that they would have told and would have spoiled the action of extracting Maduro from Venezuela. So I'm thankful that it has taken place. But I want us to talk about today the outfall. What can we expect? What will the results be? The Democrats are now demanding send Maduro back to Venezuela, just like they were saying send the thug that was arrested, tried, and convicted, and deported back to Venezuela. They had to bring him back because of federal judges. I'm wondering now what kind of federal judges will make rules and decisions and suits to try to force the release of Maduro to be sent back to Venezuela. I'm wondering what that's going to be. But Kenneth, the bottom line is we're witnessing chaos, confusion, calamity, perilous times around the globe, and primarily as we witness what is taking place in South America and then in the Middle East, that I believe plays into the last days with what God is going to do. But, Kenneth, thank you so much, brother, for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. Maria Machado was on the original ballot against Maduro in 2020. He forced the courts to have her removed from the ballots, and another gentleman by the name of Edmundo Gonzalez then took in her stead that position on the ballot. After the election was almost complete, with Gonzalez showing in some areas 70% of the vote, Maduro had the election nullified and then had the very same courts declare him as the winner. The United States and the Biden administration during that period, along with the State Department, said that those elections were not valid. They did not recognize Maduro as a sovereign leader of a sovereign nation. At that point, the Biden administration also issued a reward for his arrest. The Southern District of New York federal court had an indictment brought forward against him for criminal charges. When President Trump directed our military in cooperation with law enforcement agencies to nab this individual, they were simply committing a police action. The Democrats are promptly trying to reclassify that as military invasion. Every one of these Democrats is saying war, 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 and ignoring that they were on the very boat in 2020 in agreement with the Biden administration in regards to Maduro not being the legitimate leader of Venezuela.
You're exactly right. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says Trump pours cold water on Machado becoming Venezuela's new leader after Maduro's capture. He said, I think I'll be very tough for it will be very tough for her to be a leader. She doesn't have the support or the respect within her own country. She's a very nice woman, but she doesn't have the respect of the people. President Trump placed doubt on the chances of Maria Corina Machado, the Venezuelan opposition leader of 2025 and a 2025 Nobel Prize Peace Prize laureate, leading the nation after Maduro's capture. Opposition politicians Armando Gonzalez has been recognized as Venezuela's legitimate leader. Now, here's the point, and I need your take on it. Trump is already saying, no, Machado is not going to be the one. What are we going to do? What will Trump do? How will this be carried out with having, a makeshift government, if you will, until someone can be properly legally elected in Venezuela as the leader? Who will be seated in that position? How will it be orchestrated from D.C. to make sure it's carried out? Are we going to have to put in gatekeepers, boots on the ground? Trump's already said he would do that if necessary. What are your thoughts as to where this goes, Jim?
I think the United States is in a good position to dictate to the current government what they want done. This should send an extreme fear and a cold chill down their backs, knowing that at any time they are liable to receive the same treatment, if not worse. The State Department with Marco Rubio has already put them, and Donald Trump himself, if you watch the briefing at 11 o'clock on Sunday, has already said that, look, everything's on the table right now. You're going to do what we're going to tell you. I think this is probably the best solution until they can get a democratically elected leadership that's more cooperative with the world in place and rid themselves of the narco state players there. And by the way, the Minister of Defense and another one, I think his name is Padilla, and another one, I can't recall his names, but they also have very strong links with the cartel drug gangs there in Venezuela and Colombia. So they need to address those issues as well.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I'm finding fascinating Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a wicked, wild, less than conservative by a long shot in the Democratic Party. She is one of the congresspeople, representatives from South Florida. She's praising Trump for doing that. She has
you
brought
know why,
up the
don't you?
Ire. Yes. Explain that. Explain that to our listeners.
Because Durrell happens to so fall in her district, and Durrell is one of the most heavily populated areas just west of Miami with Venezuelan immigrants and people that were politically motivated to leave Venezuela. She has no choice if she wants to stay in office.
That's it, exactly. She's up for re-election. She's got to take a stand for that. It makes a lot of sense. One last question, Jim, and you're a historian and familiar with this. Most of the argument and the hewing and crying and hair-pulling and hair on fire with the Democrats is that they're claiming that Trump did not have the authority to do what he's done without a vote of Congress. Explain to our listeners the authority that Trump has, where that authority is found, and why he is legal in what he's done.
That would go back to the 1700s, and one of our presidents wrote down a law that was put into effect, and it's called the Monroe Act. And the Monroe Act says that this side of the world is our political sphere of influence, because you have to recall during that period that you had British, French, and Spanish all through the Caribbean and North America there, and all of those governments during that period at one time or another were hostile to the United States. So the Monroe Act was written in such a way as to ensure that this sphere would be dominated and controlled by U.S. interests without interference from foreign political actors.
Absolutely, and we find also in, I believe it's under, covered under Article 2, with the extremely wide powers that the Oval Office has in the United States of America. And one of the major things find intriguing and absolutely correct, when President Trump, and then repeated by Marco Rubio in a different setting, where they could not tell Congress because the leak would take place and would spoil their action. It's sad, Jim, when we have a leadership in America, the U.S. House and Senate, where they take sides with the enemy. This is the reason I call the Democratic Party the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party, because I believe they are for the destruction, the evisceration, the fall of the United States of America. Everything that I've seen them do in the past less than 100 years in my lifetime has been against anything that would be called the Constitution and the rights that we have as citizens. Jim, what is the answer? Should we view this that is taking place? And I'm asking that from a very serious perspective, because I think many Christians will look at it and say, well, that's politics. That's politics are always dirty. I'm not concerned about it. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect my paycheck. It doesn't affect my job. It doesn't keep my kids from going to school, so I'm not going to worry about it. Why should that be a false statement by any Christian or conservative?
Well, every Christian should be fully aware of the world around them. And whenever there are those that are suffering persecution by those that are in power that don't honor Christ, it should be a concerning event, regardless of their nationality and regardless of where it's at in the world. It affects us all. We need to remember that Christ is King and King of Kings, and that all governments should be honoring him and doing right by him. We wouldn't have these problems today if we had that occurring here.
Absolutely. Jim, one final statement from me in regard to that. I believe Christians need to recognize and understand what the world view is like and what is taking place through a central biblicist prism of Scripture, looking at what is happening, analyzing it based on the Word of God, and determining, for example, if this were to continue as it has been going, we would have nation after nation after nation overriding any rules, regulations, guidelines, or laws in the United States of America. And if that can happen, eventually we would have dissipated any rights that we have, religious liberties that we have in our Bill of Rights and the Constitution of the United States of America. So it affects us from that standpoint that it will implode, erode, and destroy our biblical rights to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with others and the world about us. Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
And God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about several things. The communist jihadist and the media against America. We're witnessing what President Trump is doing to bring about the strength and the power in America that God has given us, and I'm thankful for it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.